Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are, continuing with part three, as Peter just said. This week is, this coming week is, Lent. And, if you haven't, got a group of people to pray the 24 hours of the Passion, try to do that. You still got time. And even as time goes on, you can add people to your list so that you can get at least 24 people, or more, to pray the 24 hours of the Passion. So Jesus said, the promise Jesus gives to Louisa is that in these places where the 24 hours of the Passion is read, is prayed, he says the chastisement that's coming will be softened. It will be lower in these areas that have prayed the 24 hours of the Passion. Jesus tells Louisa that when we recognize him in his Passion and console him, Jesus says that he blesses those areas because those people begin to realize that it's a new beginning for them, a new beginning for the world. Because now after Jesus has, you know, was crucified, died, and rose from the dead. Now he says, now is the time of sanctification. So what these, talks are about is about the greatest thing that God is doing. The third fiat. Creation, of the fiat lux, all of creation began. The fiat voluntas tua, the fiat mihi of the of Blessed Mother, then redemption could take place. And now with the fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This fulfillment of the Our Father is the greatest thing that God has done. It's to bring us back to where Adam was before the fall, to enter into God's image and likeness. And that's where we're going to begin today on volume 20. Volume 20, 11, 23, 1926. My daughter, now this is what Jesus says about living. The living in my divine will. Okay, so this is what we're striving for. This is what we're asking God for. It's our desire because it's his desire. So he says, to live in my divine will forms the true sun between heaven and earth. Now think about that. In creation, there is a sun in the sky that gives light and warmth and heat. Without the sun, nothing could exist. It would be complete darkness. And what Jesus says, the true sun, the sun that God wants, is that a soul live in his holy divine will. Okay? Its rays, this is in the person, its rays extending down below invest each thought, each gaze, each word, each work, each step. So everything that the soul living in the divine will does is like this light. Remember, Jesus came to earth and I am the light of the world, he says. But then he says, you are the light. You have to become this light. And this is what he's talking about this great gift of the divine will. So he says, binding these souls with its light. So this light of Jesus, the new Adam, this light of Mary, the new Eve, he says, this is how I want you to begin to live, not with just a virtue or two like the saints possessed, but to enter into this fullness of life of Jesus, this fullness of life of Mary that was given to Louisa. This is why we read the volumes of Louisa, because Jesus is doing this. He says this, these souls are bound with this light. This divine light forms with them a crown around itself. So Jesus says that what he's going to bring about is this glorious crown for his holy church, this crown of this light of God, this life of God, this love of God, keeping it firm within itself so that nothing may escape it. I mean, this is to be in God's likeness. Do you see the difference between the saints have taught us how to live a holy, good, and saintly life? Now Jesus is saying, he says, I want this light to be a crown around itself, keeping it firm within itself so that nothing may escape it. So we take all of creation as ours. We take all of redemption as ours, not just a sliver or two that the saints took, but the totality of it. So what is this sanctification that God wants to bring to this earth? This sanctification is the sanctity of sanctities, Jesus says. So Jesus calls this gift the sacrament of sacraments. It's the ultimate that God can give to mankind. And so he says this, with its rays, it extending up high, investing the whole of heaven and all the saints, all the blessed, and binding them all with its divine light, it lets nothing escape it, so that triumphant this son may say that these are the children of the divine will. This is what God is asking us to say. He's asking us to enter into this. I enclose everything. I lack nothing of the works of my creator, of what belongs to God. When we look at the saints, we're in awe of them. You know, they're so good. They're so holy. They're so saintly. But Jesus tells Louisa, I want more than that. That's why he says, I gave you the prayer of the Our Father. The only prayer, may your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. It's not just to be good any longer or holy any longer or saintly any longer. It's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. What does the priest say? He says, may we share in the divinity of Christ when he puts that drop of water into the chalice. We are that drop of nothing. And when we enter into this drop filled with wine, this drop filled and enters into that cup of wine, it fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. And what does the priest say? May we now share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Now, Jesus says, now I want you to enter again into this abundant life that Adam lost. When we read this, it's to really begin to fuse yourself with God, to enter into this oneness of God. Now, many people throughout the world who don't know Jesus Christ, they fall into different religions, different categories. And God is calling everyone. God is calling everyone to enter into this universal life of God, this Catholic life of God. So what God is doing right now is he's purifying the church. He's purifying the world. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the supernatural is based on the natural. So what is happening in our governments? God is purifying them. We're seeing the big difference between good and evil. We're seeing the big difference between truth and lies. And a lot of people are still confused. A lot of people are still want to say they're asleep. They haven't opened their eyes yet. They haven't looked at what is happening. It's a new era that's coming. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, she said, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the era of Lucifer. It's the end. The 100 years that was given to Lucifer is over. So everything seems to be falling apart. And the devil is trying his best to destroy the church, the world, our families, our friends, our neighbors, trying to destroy everyone. But God wins. See, this is God's trump card. It's the gift of the divine will. We're going to get some really interesting times, but it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be worried about. It's nothing to be anxious about. We're called to enter into this abundant life. Why? God is in charge. God wins. And that's what he's calling us to. So he says very, very clearly, he says, I enclose everything. The sun, this life, this true sun between heaven and earth. S-U-N, I enclose everything. I lack nothing with the works of my creator, and I be and what belongs to him. We belong to him. We are one with him. We are fused with him. With my wings of light, I extend over everything. I embrace everyone. I triumph over all. Do you see what God is calling us to? He's calling us to enter into the image and likeness of God again. If a saint said this, with my wings of light, I extend over everything. I embrace everyone. I triumph over all. We'd go, this is not right. You're a human. You're a fallen human nature. But you see what God is bringing? This is why when we read the divine will, we're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Jesus is leading us into the time of sanctification, returning back to the image and likeness of God that Adam lost. Think about what was Adam's DNA like. When God breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. That's what God is calling us back to, his image and likeness. And he says he's going to do it. He says, this is a divine decree. And so he's asking us, get ready, get ready. He says, I triumph over all, even over my eternal maker, because in this light of God, of light of his volition, there is nothing that God wants that I do not bring to him. And this is becoming the true sons and daughters of God. We want to be a true son of Jesus. We want to be a true son of Mary. That's Louisa. She has been given this gift, and now God is saying to us, I'm calling everyone, because now I have a newborn, now I have the firstborn, who really begins again where Adam fell. Okay, God needed a human to do this. Adam was a human. Jesus comes as the perfect human to redeem. Our Lady is the perfect woman to redeem. Why? Co-redeem with Christ. The two become one, and let Father and the Adam was the father, the husband of his daughter that came out of his side. Jesus died on the cross. His daughter is the Holy Church, who he wants to marry. He wants to bring about a new beginning for mankind. And so what happens is out of the womb of Mary comes the Son. It's full circle. It's full circle. So what is Jesus saying? This Son, this is who we're called to be, is nothing, because of the light of God's will, there is nothing that God wants that I do not bring to him. There is no act which I do not do for him. There is no love I do not give to God. With my wings of light, this is the reflection of God, image and likeness of God, that my eternal fiat administers to me. I am the true king who invests all, dominates everything. Adam was the true king, and he lost it. So Jesus comes as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Mary comes as Queen of Heaven and Earth. Why? To instill in mankind, to give birth to mankind, this abundant life. That's what Louisa possesses. And our God is asking us, do you want what I have given to Louisa? And our response, if we're reading, is I want this 100%. I desire this more than anything. I want what you, God, want for mankind. Image and likeness again. So through holy baptism, we are God in God's image. Now, with reading and studying this book of heaven that Jesus dictated to Louisa, now we enter into the likeness of God. And that's why he says, living in my divine will forms the true son between heaven and earth. See, Jesus has got this planned. Our Lord has got this planned. This is the plan of the Father. And so this is why Jesus only taught us one prayer. May your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. Jesus says, I want no difference between heaven and earth. So this is what's coming. So we continue with volume 20, 1127, 1926. I was all abandoned in the arms of the adorable will. And this is what we want. We want to be abandoned totally to God. We only want what God wants. We don't want our human misery anymore. And I prayed, my sweet Jesus, to make use of an act of his divine power so that the supreme will might invest again the human generations. What Adam lost, he was supposed to give this to his children. And now we are praying with the act of God's divine power that this supreme will of God will invest the human generations. See, there's great things coming. This is why the evil one is so angry. This is why he's trying to destroy the church, destroy the world. He is so angry. He has failed miserably. God is winning. God gave him what he wanted. Give me 100 years. This is what Pope Leo XIII heard. Give me 100 years to destroy your church. He's tried every way possible. God wins. So he says this, we're praying by an act of your divine power in the supreme will of God to invest the human generations, which you want God, and binding them to itself, it might form its first children, so longed for by the divine will of God. God will wanted this from the beginning. 6,000 years later, Jesus says, finally, we have a newborn, Louisa. The true life of Jesus, the new Adam, the true life of Mary, the new Eve. And what God is saying to us, basically, what I have dictated to Louisa, read this, study this. Jesus says, I will speak to you. I will lead you closer to the Holy Church, closer to his Sacred Heart, closer to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, closer to this fire that's coming down from heaven. What is the fire that's coming down from heaven? Symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, through this newborn, Louisa. What's coming is so amazing. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God is going to do for those who love him. Wait to just get a glimpse of this. And that's what reading the 36 volumes does. It gives you a glimpse every day as you read, especially the calendar. When you're reading, when you're studying this every day, you enter into the first children of the divine will. That's where we are today. This is a time for rejoicing. Volume 20, 1129, 1926. As my usual abandonment in the adorable will of God continued, all of creation made itself present. This is the rounds of creation that we are learning. Volume 16 to volume 36, Jesus says to Louisa, I want you to learn to pray the rounds, to go around of all of creation, adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God. That was the life of Adam. I want you now to go to all the rounds of redemption, what Jesus and Mary went through. I mean, this is now the kingdom of redemption. Why? So that we can begin to enter into the kingdom of sanctification, the kingdom of the third fiat, the kingdom of God on earth, exactly the way it's in heaven, in which the supreme will flowed, dominated, and triumphed as divine light, as primary life, in the great things just as in the smallest ones. The great things, your whole life. I mean, the great thing is Our Lady never did her human will in her entire life. The great thing is Jesus never did his human will in his entire life. We're learning how to blink in the divine will, breathe in the divine will, beat our heart beating in the divine will. How? Through the prevenient acts that we make in the morning. We say, may Jesus breathe in my breathing. May you be alive in me. Jesus, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, speak in my speaking. Jesus, you reign so that you're the Lord of my life. Not anything that I want to think, say, and do, but what you want to think, say, and do. And then he lets us participate in Jesus and Mary doing this in our life as he did with Louisa. The smallest things, and I blink. Jesus says this about Louisa. He says that out of all the martyrdoms of all the saints combined, one I blink of Louisa is greater than all of that. How can that be? Because the saints did the will of God in their human will. They learned how to do the will of God. When Louisa blinks in the divine will, it's Jesus blinking. It's God blinking in her blinking. image and likeness begins again. And that's why Jesus is asking us, enter into this gift. Jesus says, I'm going to teach you the dogma and doctrine of our faith to perfection. Why? Jesus is speaking. This is not like the words of Jesus to St. Faustina. This was a vision of St. Faustina, a locution, an apparition that St. Faustina had. I love St. Faustina. But to live in the divine will, it's not a vision. It's not a locution. It's not an apparition. It's this oneness with God that Adam had before the fall, where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. That wasn't a vision. That wasn't an apparition. That wasn't a locution. So Jesus is asking us, if you want what I gave to Louisa, let me teach you, Jesus says. Reading, studying, and putting this into practice every day. And little by little, we take tiny little steps to let God teach us what this is all about. He says this. In my usual abandonment in the holy divine will continued, all of creation made itself present. This is the rounds. In which the supreme will flowed, dominated, and triumphant as divine light, as primary life, in the great things just as in the smallest. What enchantment, what divine enchantment, what divine order, what rare beauty, what divine harmony among them, because one is the will that dominates them, the divine will of God, and flowing in them binds them in such a way that one cannot be without the other. God is going to teach us that the only thing that's in disorder is humanity. Because we're not one with him in his will. All of creation is one with God in his will. And that's why there's earthquakes, floods, famines, and plagues. Creation is upset with us. Because we're not back to what God has called us to be. Volume 20, 12/3/1926. Do you know what put distance between God and the soul? It was the human will. Each act of the human will is one step of distance between God and man, between creator and creature. The more the human will operates, the more man moves away from the one God who created him. He loses sight of God. He decays from his origin. He breaks every bond with the celestial family. God wants us back where we belong. What is your human will? If you really understand what your human will is, it's when you go to confession and you make a good confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. When we get to that point, God goes, good. You understand now how you're living. You're living in your human misery. You're living in your human will. Re-enter into my divine will, Jesus says, and everything will become peace, order. Everything will become as what God has planned in the beginning. We go back to our origin. Jesus says this very, very clearly. After this, Louisa says, I was following my passionate Jesus, again, doing the hours of the passion. Hours of the passion, my passionate Jesus in his sorrowful prison. His sorrowful prison is the tabernacle. He says, this is the gift of gifts that God has given to mankind at this point in the kingdom of redemption. Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Pope St. John Paul II said, I want every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. But not just for a day, perpetual adoration, like he put in the Vatican. When you go into the Vatican, when you walk into the main basilica, to the right, halfway down, is the chapel where you can adore Jesus while you're there in the Vatican, in St. Peter's. He says, I want this for every parish. He's abandoned. He's alone in his prison, his tabernacle. He's waiting for us to visit him. This is why he says this. He says, his sorrowful prison, bound to a column. Now here, Luis is with Jesus at the scourging. In a barbarous way in which they bound him, he could not stand, leaning against the column, but dangled. His legs were bent and bound to this pole. So he oscillated now to the right, now to the left. My daughter, do you know why I allow myself to be put in the prison during this course of my passion? To free man from the prison of his human will, the misery that we're in, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. Look how horrible my prison is. In the narrow place it served to contain the rubbish and the excrements of creatures. So the stench was unbearable. The darkness was thick. They left me not even a little lamp, but positioned my excruciating, dirtied with spit, my hair disheveled, suffering all the of my members, bound, not even erect, but bent. I could help myself in no way, not even to remove a hair from my eyes that bothered me. So here Jesus is saying, again, this is what's happening in the tabernacle. He's left alone and abandoned. He's here with us. When we walk into the church, when we see that candle lit next to the tabernacle, it says Jesus is here. We go into church and there's noise. There's people talking and laughing, ignoring Jesus. We have to get back to being with Jesus. And the 24 hours of the Passion will help you come back to God. Do this during Lent. Promise Jesus that you'll read every day. Get back to who our Lord is. He's the one who is crucified. Jesus says this. He says this. I could help myself in no way, not even to remove the hair from my eyes. Volume 20, 12, 1926. My daughter, both my mama Mary and I came to set fraternal bonds with the creatures. We came to raise decayed humanity and therefore to take up the miseries and the humiliations into which it had fallen in order to expiate for them at the cost of our lives. Here are the two that suffered the most, Jesus and Mary, at the cost of their lives. And Jesus says, this is what they gave to Luisa. Their sufferings. Why? So that Jesus and Mary could be one with Luisa. This is why we love to be with Luisa. Jesus says, I crucified Luisa every single day. He says that to her, Luisa. Luisa said to Jesus, you know, you make me die every day, crucified. She says, basically, you know, why won't you let me go to heaven? And Jesus says, because I want to see you reborn every day. So when you hear about being reborn in Christ, it's not a one-time event. It's continuous, constantly being reborn, constantly being renewed, constantly being one with God. Then this is what we're going to learn from Luisa. Jesus says this, volume 20, 12, 22, 19, 26, my daughter, what is the purpose for which you want my divine will to be fulfilled in you and to be known by all? Okay, so this is God asks us the same thing. What is the purpose for which you want my divine will to be fulfilled in you? Why? To be known by all. Okay, so we're not doing this for our sanctification. Jesus says it's not for sanctification. It's for sharing in divinity. What the priest puts in, and when he puts the drop of water in the chalice every day. And I want it because you want it. Yes. Why are we doing this? Because Jesus wants this. Jesus wants everybody to know about this. Your family doesn't want this. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want it. Your parishioners don't want this. Jesus says, I want you to do it. What does this mean? You must become the yeast, Jesus says. And everyone else around you is the flour. And as you begin to live in this It's the leaven is there for everyone else. Think about this. He said to the apostles, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. What did he say? It will kill you. But Jesus tells Louisa, the yeast is the most important thing in the divine will. You have to become the yeast. So we who are reading this, it's not to tap somebody on the shoulder and go, Louisa, it's to be one with Louisa in order that we could be one with Jesus and Mary, to receive this gift that Jesus and Mary gave to Louisa. This is what it says. I want this because you, Jesus, want this. I want it so that the divine order in your kingdom may be established on earth as it is in heaven. I want it so the human family may no longer live estranged from you, Lord Jesus, but may be bound once again to the divine family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from which it had its origin. And Jesus sighing, he added, my daughter Louisa, your purpose and my purpose are one. We want this unity with God. Do you want the purpose of God? He says that we begin to enter into this divine order so that his kingdom may be established on earth as in heaven, so that the human family may no longer live as a stream from God, but may be bound once again to the divine family of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from which we had our origin. And Jesus says, if we believe this, your purpose and mine are one, as they are with Louisa. When the Son has the same purpose as his Father, he wants what his Father wants. He never dwells in someone else's home. He works in the field of his Father. And if his Father finds himself with people, he speaks of the goodness, of the ingenuity, of the great purpose of his Father. On the other hand, when one does not have our same purpose, he dwells, or not at all, in the royal palace of our most holy divine will. God wants us to be clothed in divinity, the royal palace. He keeps going around, making his rounds, I mean, in creation, redemption, now to some house, now to a vile hovel. He keeps wandering about in the outdoors of his passions, doing acts unworthy of the family of God. If he works, it is in foreign fields. If he speaks, the love and goodness and ingenuity, the great purposes of the Father, is never resounds on his lips. So all his bearing, he cannot be recognized at all as one who belongs to his family. Can this one really be called a son of his family? And if he came from it, he is a degenerate son who has broken all the bonds and relations that bind him to his family. Therefore, only the soul who does my divine will and lives in my divine will, it can be called my child, a member of my divine family, of the celestial family. So Jesus is telling us, if you're not doing the will of God, if you're not living in the will of God, he says, how can you be called my child? You have to become a member of my divine and celestial family. All the others are degenerate children, as though foreign to our family. So Jesus is saying, I have redeemed you. My mother co-redeemed with me. And now he says, I'm calling you to enter into a life of sanctification. He says, that's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world, she says. It's the end of the reign of Lucifer, where we are no longer going to be separated from this family of God. Everyone is going to be in this universal life as Adam was in the beginning. This is why this is so great. This is why this is our Lord has saved the best for last. He's really asking us to begin to live this abundant life. 5:21-3:5:19-27, my daughter, my humanity came upon earth as though in the middle of times, in order to reunite the past, when the fullness of my divine will reigned in man. What does that mean? I came to earth in the middle times, 2,000 years ago, to reunite the past. What was the past? When the fullness of the divine will reigned in Adam. I'm going to bring this about again. The redemption is the middle. Sanctification is what God wants. In creation, everything was its own. Everywhere it had its kingdom, its operating, divine life. And I, God, enclose within me, Jesus says, this fullness of my divine will. And binding those in the present, first I made myself the model in order to form the remedies that were needed, the helps, the teachings, the necessity were necessary in order to heal mankind. That's the sacraments and sacramentals. It's healing us. When we make a good confession, we are healed. Then I bound the posterity to the fullness of that divine will that regained in the first times of creation. So my coming upon earth was the bond of reunion of times. My coming upon earth was the remedy in order to form this bond so that the kingdom of my divine fiat might return into the midst of creatures. I came to earth so that the kingdom would be reestablished on earth as it is in heaven. It was the model for everyone. So that modeling themselves, they might be tied with the bonds formed by me, Jesus. This is why before speaking to you, Louisa, before speaking to you about my divine will, I spoke to you about my coming upon earth. This suffering of Jesus is going to get us ready for sanctification. We have to understand why he came to earth, why he took our place. The 24 hours of the Passion are essential for Lent, essential if you want to enter into this gift. He says, why of what I did, what I suffered in order to give you the remedies, the model of my own life. And then I spoke to you about my divine will. For 2,000 years, we've been focused on the way the saints have taught us, our dogma and our doctrine. Now Jesus says, now is the time to get ready for the divine will to reign, for sanctification to come to the earth. It was bonds that I formed in you, Louisa, and in us. And in these bonds, I formed the kingdom of my divine will. And as a sign of this, there are many knowledges that I, God, have manifested to you, Louisa, about the divine will. The truths I have given to you, Louisa. The promises I've given to you, Louisa. It's sorrows because it does not reign. It's sorrow because it does not reign with all its divine fullness in the midst of creatures. The fulfillment of the Our Father is taking place, but it's not full yet. The goods that it promises to the children of its kingdom. As we enter into this every day, it becomes more and more beautiful. It becomes more and more obvious what God is doing. My daughter, as your Jesus was conceived, this is volume 21, 3, 16, 19, 27. As your Jesus was conceived, I tied again the kingdom of my divine will with creatures. It was necessary for the divine will to take absolute dominion in my holy humanity, to have its life free of all, in all my human acts, in order to be, to lay its kingdom as it wanted within my holy humanity. So everything I did, works, prayers, breathing, heartbeat, sufferings, were bonds. It was retying between the kingdom of my fiat and mankind. He's retying everything. I represented the new Adam, Jesus, the new Adam, Mary, the new Eve. Not only was to give remedies in order to save them, but to redo, to restore that which the old Adam had lost. And that's what we do. We repair and we do. Every day at Holy Mass, I say from the moment I was conceived, to for all eternity, I want to repair and redo not only for my sins, my life, my thoughts, my words, my deeds, but for all of mankind. Each of us stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites. We're not just praying for the Israelites. We're praying for everyone from Adam to the last person to repair and redo as if God never lost anyone. We repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. So Jesus says, so that these retimes that my holy humanity formed between the kingdom of my divine will and the creatures might have validity, might have life and recognition. And it was necessary, Jesus says, that I chose one soul, one creature, who being entrusted with a special office of making the kingdom of my divine will known, making known this kingdom. This is Louisa, who would bind herself to all of these retimes that my divine will had formed in my holy humanity. We are doing what Jesus has done, retying and redoing everything and everyone. So when you hear something horrible happening, don't get angry. Say, thank you for showing this to me. Number two, I want to repair this. I want to redo this as you did, Jesus, as Mary did, Jesus. I don't want to be separated from you and Our Lady in any way, shape, or form. That's what Louisa did. Receiving the power to transmit these retyings of my kingdom to the other creatures. I want everyone, not only my family, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, my parishioners, but all mankind. We want to repair and redo. This is why I, God, remain in the depth of your soul. Same thing for us. In the depth of our soul, that's where Jesus, this is what Jesus is doing. Maintaining the divine life of my supreme fiat. Why? To bind these retains and to lay its kingdom in them. Therefore, I, God, speak to you so much about my divine will. And when we read, Jesus is speaking to us so much about his divine will. And he says this, that I have not done with anyone else until now, with you, Louisa. Now he speaks to us when we read, when we study, when we put into practice. 5:21, 8:4, 8:19, 27. My daughter, the greatest figures of the Old Testament, while being images that veiled the future Messiah, enclosed also the gifts, the image, and symbolized all the gifts that the children of the supreme fiat would possess. Everything that the people of the Old Testament, the New Testament had is a symbol of what God has given to us in totality. The strength of Samson, the wisdom of Solomon, the heart of David. This is what God is giving to all of us. It's not just broken up into individuals. He wants to fill us with this divine fullness. Look at the lives of the saints. He wants to fill us to capacity. Jacob was another symbol. In fact, the 12 tribes of Israel would descend from him. And from their midst, the future Redeemer was to be born, who was to bind again the kingdom of the divine fiat to my children. Volume 21, 4:12, 1927. My daughter, in issuing the creation, my divine will linked all beings with the bond of union so that they were all in connection among themselves. Each one possessed like it's an electric wire of communication between the other. So this intimacy, this oneness between all of mankind. Man possessed as many electrical wires for as many created things that existed. All of creation belongs to us. All of redemption belongs to us. Because being the king of everything, it was right and necessary for him to have the communication with all creation in order to possess the dominion of it. That's where we are today. God is asking us to possess the dominion of all of creation and redemption as king, as Lord. That's Adam. Adam was the king of the earth. Anything he thought, said, or did, all of creation obeyed. Why? He was one with God. That's what's coming back to mankind. So we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We pray that everyone become divinely healed. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll talk to you in a minute, at 15 minutes.